Last week, we heard Shayla blessed us with a great, just a great message about, you know what, the grace of God. How many of God is so gracious to us? And you know what, his grace is sufficient for us, the Bible says. And he's just such a loving Heavenly Father. Wonderful message. The week before, I started talking about, and all we're talking about is really the goodness of God. How many know we got to go at the pace that God says? I don't want to get in front of God. I don't want to get behind God. I want to just stay with God. So we started preaching a sermon, a series of sermons about the goodness of God. We've been talking about the goodness of God. And then God said, now I want you to start teaching people how to walk in a greater abundance of his goodness. In a greater abundance of God's goodness. How many would like a greater abundance of God's goodness? You know what I mean? And the Holy Spirit told me, start to teach them how to walk in that greater abundance. And so the first thing I taught you 2 weeks ago is that death and life is in the power of the tongue. How many know our tongue is powerful? In the negative or in the positive? How many right now, before we even get started, how many would raise their hand and say, you know what? You talk too much smack. Come on, I'm looking for hands. How many recognize? And a lot of times you're not talking smack about Carlos. You're talking about smack about you. It's death coming out of your life. And coming out of your mouth. And the Bible says, we'll look at it in a minute, that death and life comes in the power of the tongue. How many know life comes in the power of the tongue too? And you could start speaking life over your life. Well, as I was like finished that sermon, it's like, okay, I'm done. I want to teach you on the gratefulness of God. I'm not going to teach it today. You missed a good time to moan. I'm not going to teach that today. But the goodness of God is so critical. I'm going to teach this to you. The thankfulness, your gratitude is so critical to you receiving from God. I'm going to teach that soon. But the Holy Spirit kept on waking me up and wrestling, not wrestling in a negative way, but in a real good way, just kept on teaching me last week about how important it was to start to use your words to change situations in your life. Now, here's the funny thing. If I had to give myself a grade on that, I would have given myself an A. An A, for sure. I would have given myself an A. I would have said, you know what? I do a pretty good job about binding. It's in your prayer journal, matter of fact. Every day, I'm binding and loosing. There's some things I'm saying, no, this is not going to take place. And you said, well, where'd you come up with that binding and loosing? Here's a good thought. What about Jesus? Because Jesus, how many doctrine of Jesus is good doctrine? Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And I knew all this, and I declare and proclaim things. I use my words to bind things and to loose things, to free things up that I want need to be freed up in the world. And I understand that to great extent. But last week, every single night, night after night after night after night, for about 5 nights in a row, the Holy Spirit just kept on pounding in me. You know what? This thought of optimism, of this ability to live a whole different circumstance, a whole different blessing, to really just rise up to a higher level. And every morning I'd wake up so optimistic because I recognized, man, there's a whole reality that I, even thinking that I'm doing well, haven't tapped into it like I could. I fully believe that this is such a under-tapped reality that most people in the body of Christ don't walk in, don't understand, don't function in. You heard Carlos, you know what, say, and we said it together. At the very last, he says, and I will be a what? A doer of the word. Well, I believe that to a great extent, we just need to step into this higher level. The Holy Spirit showed me and is showing me, and I'm going to show you some of it today, that there is abilities to direct your life, areas of direction in your life, even in your families, in your relationship, in every area in your life that you can start to step into, that you're not stepping into that right now. Does that make sense? Now, that's kind of like a negative. It's like, I'm not. Well, yeah, you're not. Neither was I. But how many know it's a positive, because how many know today's a new day? And if we'll get a hold of this, there, I'm telling you what, every single, for like five nights in a row, God just, and I would wake up so optimistic, kind of convicted also, but optimistic in areas in my life that it wasn't as smooth, wasn't as great, wasn't as wonderful as it could be. You said, Pastor, are you telling me that God wants your life to be great and wonderful? Here, let me communicate. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Bible says that Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. Amen. The Bible, one version says it like this: God came to give us life and life to the full. Now, does that mean everything's going to be perfect in your life? That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is there's this reality that we can walk in. The Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. There's this reality that we can walk in. And there's a bunch of goofballs on the internet. That's why I encourage you, stop listening to people who are self-anointed. But they're really not anointed. They'll talk about how much they know the Word of God. And the problem is they don't know the Word of God. And I love you all, but the problem is, to some extent, you know what? They're able to deceive you because of your lack of understanding of the Word of God. Does that make sense? What I want to show you today is, and I want to show it to you, and I do this week after week, but I certainly want to do this today. I'll have the scripture right behind me because I want you to take notes. I want you to notice how theologically correct what I'm about to say is. I could teach this from, I'm not bragging, I could teach this from every single book in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Can I tell you why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the system that He has set up. This is how He works. You know what? I'm going to show it to you today. How many ready to go to a higher level? How many ready to go to a higher level? But to go to that higher level, you got to be willing to recognize, maybe it's something about you. This really needs to be preached, because we're living in a society where we are teaching. And parents, listen to me very carefully, because you got to make sure your kids don't catch this. Your grandkids don't catch this. But we're living in a society where the society is teaching now, you are a victim. It's so racist. Amen? Like, you know what? You're born into some race that you can't raise up higher. Well, tell me what race that is. You see, absolutely racist it is. We have gotten less free and more bound as we're listening to the lies of Satan. Amen? I'm of the mindset, you know what, that we ought to be at the place where we're, you know what, not noticing so much people's color of their skin. I've heard more stuff about this race and that race. You know what? It's like, really? Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to celebrate our races, but you know what? And we can. We celebrate everybody. But you know what? Don't be deceived. Don't get into this victim mentality. Man, if God is for you, who could be against you? I don't care what race you are. And think about this. You know what? God likes you just the way you are. Amen? Are you learning something today? Yeah. So, let's Let's open up our Bibles. I'm going to just go through this. Let's open up our Bibles. Go first to Deuteronomy. What God showed me is that there's a lot more control that I have to direct my life in better places than I'm actually taking advantage of. But I have to take advantage of it. Look what it says. You know this verse. I quote it all the time. I've set before you, look right here, that I have set before you what? What's he set before you? Life and what? Life. Somebody say life and death. See, you can choose life or you can choose death. Watch this. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what's that next word after therefore? What's that next word after therefore? Everybody get your heads up. Look at the screen. What's that next word after? Here, I'll give you a hint. After, therefore. Choose. You know what that means? It means you have a choice. But notice you can choose death too. What does God want you to do? Choose life. And notice this. That both, somebody say both. See, this isn't just for you. How many know this is for you? How many have kids? Raise your hand. Raise your hand quickly if you have kids. This ain't just for you. This is for you and your children. That you and your descendants might live. Now, you can't force your kids to do anything. But how many know you could put them in a right direction? Amen. You say, yeah, but Pastor, my parents were jacked up. I mean, how many know all of our parents are jacked up? How many know some of our parents were more jacked up than others? No, I'm not trying to be funny. That's reality. And I don't know where you come from. I don't know where but I will tell you this. Notice the word says you, even with jacked up parents, some of you, even with really, really jacked up parents, some of you, you didn't even know your parents. Some of your fathers weren't even around. Some of your mothers, you know what? Your mothers might have been on drugs or all kinds of stuff. Or not on drugs, but they were crazy. Amen? Okay. Here's the reality. That doesn't mean that you can't change the whole direction of your life and your kids' life. Amen. But you've got to get over the victimization of what our society is trying to do. Make you a victim. You're not a victim. You don't have to be a victim. God, somebody say God. God has set before you death and life, blessing and cursing. Now, it's not up to your parents. It's up to you to choose. But when you choose the right thing, you can put your kids and your grandkids on a whole different trajectory forward in the positive, towards the things of God. Do you see that? But notice this. Look, I skipped over this on purpose because I want to go back to it. But notice this. I have called heaven and earth as witnesses today. What's that next word? Against who? What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. Hey, guys, if you choose the wrong thing, don't blame me. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, I got witnesses. Remember that famous scripture in the Old Testament? It says, you know what? God says, I know my heart towards you. My heart is, you know what? My plans for you are for a future and a hope. Why is God saying this? Because other people are saying they don't know God's plan. Listen, let me tell you as a pastor. I've read the Bible. I know God's plan for you. His plans are good plans for you. For a hope and a future. That's what the Bible says. So don't tell me, you know what, that it's God's fault, because that's not God has set before you. Now, does he give you a choice? Absolutely. Because God predestined you to have a... Be careful before you answer this. Sometimes you just, amen, amen, amen. No, listen to what I'm saying. Has God predestined you to just have a great life? Okay. think through the Word of God. Has God predestined you that you got no choice to have a good life? Some of you are saying, no, here's the answer. No, he hasn't. Does he want you to have a good life? His will for you, very clear in the New Testament. John said, my will for you is that you be prosperous and in health as your soul's prosperous. Amen. That's what the Word says. Don't get mad at me for quoting the Word. Because I, let me tell you what I am. I'm not ashamed of the goodness of God. Amen. And throughout the Word of God, he manifests and tells us it is his good pleasure to give good things to his children. All these crazy people on the internet begging on the goodness of God. It's a false gospel. No, let me tell you about my God. It was the goodness of God that led you to repentance anyway. Amen. That's what the Bible says. But it's not, listen, it's not automatic. It's your choice. Amen. Okay, now turn to the scripture I quoted. It's in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the what? And those who love it will eat of its fruit. Okay? Somebody say death and life. Okay? Now go back to the scripture in Deuteronomy and tell me if you see something coincidental there. But not coincidental, purposeful. You see it here? Life and death. Life and death. Now turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Look what it says. This book of the law shall not depart from your what? Shall not depart from your what? Come on. Shall not depart from your what? Your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night that you might observe to do all that is written. For then, all eyes up here, for then... See, listen to me, folks. God isn't choosing your destiny. You are choosing your destiny. Ooh. You know what we want to do? We want to blame everything on God. We want to blame everything on God. You want to blame something on God? Here, blame this. Here, put this in your purse and swing it. Blame this on God. You know what? All good things come down from the Father of lights. That's the God we serve. What God has done is put in front of us blessings and cursings, death and life. It's up to us to choose. Well, why would anybody choose death? Why would anybody choose cursing? Wow, that's a great question, is it not? Here, let me ask you, why do you choose that? Or I could ask me, why do I choose that? One of the reasons we're not, I'll tell you one of the reasons, I don't have time to preach all the whys on that, but I'll tell you one of the reasons, because we're not slow to speak. See, where do we choose? How do you choose? You know, if we went to a car lot and I said, hey, you know what? Choose what car you want. Do you want a red car or do you want a black car? How many know you could choose? You're going to go, I want this one. But how do you choose when the Bible's saying, I set before you death and life, blessing and cursing? How do you choose? Can I have you choose? You choose, you vote right out of your mouth. Can I prove it to you? Let me prove it to you. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, connect the dots here. By your words, you're justified, and by your words, you're condemned. Raise your hand if you have Tourette's. Raise your hand in the house if you have Tourette's. Okay? A little bit? Is it? You don't? Tourette's is where you're out of control and you say stuff. It just comes out of your mouth. How many have that? See, you don't have that. Yes. Some of you have that. Listen, you're being honest, but it hasn't been diagnosed. Amen. Actually, come on. Raise your hand. How many know all of us have Tourette's sometimes? Come on. Hey, be honest. Okay. And here's why. But you know what? How many know that that quickness out of your mouth isn't going to change that reality? Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. James says this, that just talking about the power of the tongue. Guys, let's not fight what's in the word. Let's not fight what's in the word. Let's receive it. The Bible says, you know what? God made us. We didn't make God. Who are we to tell God, I'm not going to have it that way. No, it's going to happen no matter what. We said it 2 weeks ago. You know what? I don't believe in gravity. Fine, jump out of plane. You know what? You'll believe in gravity real quick. Amen? Listen, that's a great example. And it's the same way. I don't know how many Christians are going to, you know what, talk about how ridiculous it is that, you know what, death and life is the power of the tongue. But that's exactly how your life works. Read James. He's going to give you revelation knowledge. The word is inspired by God. Here's what he's going to say. Just like a ship. Just like a ship. Somebody say, just like a ship. It is directed. Everybody say directed. By a very small rudder. Then he says, just like a horse. How many know horses are big? You know, just that little bit. That's going to direct the horse. James says, in the same way, your life is set ablaze by just this words that set on fire. What's that? That's crazy stuff coming out of your mouth. That's to answer your question. Why do you do that? Because you're not slow to speak. Because the truth is, you haven't really submitted yourself to the word of God that says, you listen, and even... He's like, well, you're talking about me. I'm talking about me too to some degree. After I got done preaching this 2 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit said, teach it again. And I got better revelation, more understanding. Oh my goodness. I need to start decreeing and declaring things. Are you seeing what I'm saying? This book of the law shall not depart from your what? Mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night that you might observe to do everything that is written in it. For then, y'all up here? For then, what's that next word after then? You will what? Now watch this, I'm going to connect this. How many know this is true? For then you will make your way prosperous. How come your way's not prosperous? Here's how come. You're not meditating on the word of God. Trash comes out of your mouth. That trash comes out and you have set the course the wrong way. That's what happens. That's why the Bible says, meditate on it day and night. That's why the Bible says, it don't depart from your mouth. This mouth is so critical in God's plan. God decreed and declared life be. And boom, life was. And there's people who don't understand their authority on this earth, and they're going to think they're walking in humility by saying, yep, but we can't do that. Jesus did it over and over again. He spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to the fig tree. Guys, you can't, I'm not taking any of this out of context. This is hermeneutically absolutely correct. He spoke to the fig tree. And then when Peter was like, whoa, what did you do? He said, I'm sorry. Assuredly I say this unto you. This is what I talked 2 weeks ago. Assuredly I say unto you. What does that mean? I'm about to give you something that your mind is going to go, ooh, that's too big. But you've got to just believe me. Just, God, I believe you. Just speak a word. God says, "Who? Stop. This is the man." Let's just start believing God. He said, "Oh, surely I'll see it. Anyone can do this. Anyone." Why? Because death and life is in the power of the tongue.
That's right.
It is in the power of the tongue.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
For then, who will make his way prosperous?
You.
How come he's making his way prosperous? Here's how come. Because you're meditating on the word day and night.
Amen.
You meditate on the way, you know, you hang out with Tony enough. Hang out with him, hang out with him. Next thing you know, you're going to go, you're going to be walking down the street and you're going to see something weird. You're going to go, "What the crack? What the crack?" Right? Why? Because you're hanging out with Tony too much. Not too much. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what the Bible tells you. Look, when you start meditating on the Word of God day and night, here's what's going to happen. You're going to start thinking different. And when you think different, you're going to start to speak different. Here, let me ask you this. And if you're not saved yet, maybe you're here today. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you're not sure you're going to heaven. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you haven't put him in charge of your life. When the Baptist church growing up, I grew in a Baptist church growing up. We know what I always say. If you haven't made the Lord your Savior of your life, your Lord and your Savior, I like to say it more straightforward. If God's not in charge, can I give you a good rule of thumb? If God isn't in charge of your life, you're living a facade. Can I say it even a little stronger?
Yes.
Okay. If God's not in charge of your life, you might want to examine your life. You might not be saved. Because there is no God, there's no Savior unless he's your Lord. There's no such thing. That's make-believe. That's crazy theology. It's false to the max. It's false doctrine. Thank you, Jonathan. It's absolutely false doctrine. Now, does God care about your past? Absolutely not. Amen. Why? Thank you, Jesus, because the blood of Jesus. Amen. It don't make any difference what you did. Amen. But if you're making Jesus... If Jesus, he can't be your Savior and not be your Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus said it like this: "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I ask you to do?" The great exchange.
Yes.
He give you his righteousness, but he'll give you his life, but he wants your life.
Yeah.
Do you understand this?
Yeah.
Okay. But if you're meditating on the word day and night, you're getting that in there. And guess what? Now, from the heart, the mouth speaks. All of a sudden, you're not going to say crazy things out of your mouth no more. Does this make sense? All right, so how many of you saved? Raise your hand real high if you're saved. Real high, real high. Be proud of it. How many of you saved? Raise your hand real high. Keep your hands up, okay? Man, look all over the room. Maybe you're watching at home. You know what? You got your hand up too, and right there in the living room. I appreciate that. Amen? You got your hand up. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down, okay? Put your hands up again if you're safe. If you're safe. Okay, okay. JC, you ever see your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? No? Jason, you ever see your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? No? Junior? Senior? You ever see it? No? Megan, you ever see your name written? Put your hands down. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Can I show you? Can I show you how you got saved? Can I show you? Turn to Romans. We'll have it up here on the screen. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, up here on the screen. Watch this. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." So most people think Paul wrote this But he's saying, hey, I love my Israel, my brothers, and many of them aren't saved. I want them all to save. That's what I want. And saved doesn't mean you're saved going to heaven. Saved means you're whole and you're going to heaven. Does that make sense? It's sozo. Okay. I bear witness that they have zeal for God. This is the Israelites. They have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, not according to the word. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, which Shayla talked about last week, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. He's talking about these Jewish people who are just saved by their works, not by faith. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who, what? To everyone who, what? Believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall what? Shall live by them. In a Jewish culture, you say, yeah, but the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what Peter said. How would we get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But in the Jewish culture, they understood that believing was so intense that that would cause you to do something. It wasn't like, oh, where can I get a good burger? Tommy's? Well, why don't you eat a Tommy's burger? I hate a Tommy's burger. That was just illogical. Belief meant you believed it so much that you were going to act on it. Does that make sense? Okay. But the righteousness of faith, what does it do? What does it do? How do you speak? How do you speak? By words coming out of your mouth. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Now watch what it doesn't say. It doesn't say in your heart, watch this, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Next verse. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ from the dead. In other words, even though Christ saved you, you know what? Well, we'll get to it in a minute. But what does it say? How does faith speak? What does it say? Here's what it says. The word is near you. How do you get saved? In your what? Mouth. And in your heart. Is it just in your heart? No, it's in your heart, but from the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why you're justified by what you say. You're going to be condemned by what you say, and you're going to be justified by what you say. Because, watch this, it's what's really going on in your heart. Remember Jesus said, guys, either make the heart right and the fruit right, or make the heart wrong and the fruit wrong. Remember that? But what does it say? The word of God is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of the faith which we preach. Next verse. That if you, what? Confess with your, what? Mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Is it just believing in your heart? Is it just believing in your heart? According to this, is it just believing in your heart? And if you believe it in your heart, what's going to happen? It's going to come out of your mouth anyway. If you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be, here, does it say this? You will go to heaven. Does it say go to heaven? All eyes up here. You know why it doesn't say go to heaven? Because that is just part of salvation. We have interpreted saved to mean we're going to heaven, and it includes it. But what the word is sozo. It means you're healed, you're delivered, you're whole, you're justified, your righteousness in Christ, and you are sealed and going to heaven. Does that make sense? That if you confess with your mouth, this word confession, I talk about it all the time. It's a Greek word. It's called, the word is called homologeo. Homologeo. And here's what it means. It means the first part is the same as, homo, means the same as, logos, the word of God. It means when you start to say the same thing that God says, boom, that's when you got saved. What did you say? You said, oh, God, I need help. And I believe that you will help me. So start to cleanse me from the inside out. Well, that's what God said he'd do. That's the word, that's the gospel. See, if you will start to say what God said, your life will be revolutionized. There's two kingdoms that you can come in agreement with. There's two kingdoms that you are coming in agreement with. In this last month, what kingdom did you come in agreement with? Well, I came in agreement mostly with the good kingdom, but sometimes with the bad kingdom. You know what the Bible says about that? That out of our, watch this again, out of our mouth should not come both blessings and cursings. Does the Bible say that? See, I could tie this together and tie it together so much till 4 o'clock. I could tie it together till Esperanza. Amen? Okay. Let me make one more point. Just one more point. Remember the man who was blind? Here's what I want to say, and I don't know who I'm speaking to. There's some of you, and Satan has got you convinced that there are situations in your life that you cannot overcome. You will not ever overcome. You will always be that, whatever it is. You'll always be that weight. You'll always have that problem. You'll always, whatever it is. Your business will never be, you'll always have, your husband will never, your wife will never, your relation, whatever it is. And Satan has got you convinced of it. And the problem is that God has set before you death and life, blessing and cursing. But with your words, you keep on choosing death. You keep on saying what is in the heart. And what I'm saying to you today, if you'll change what you're saying, your life will change radically for the good. I only have time to give you one example. But I've already taught this for 30 minutes. Did you learn something?
Yes.
How many would say blindness is something uncurable? Here, let me try it this way. How many would say blindness is very difficult to cure? How many would raise your hand and recognize? How many would say this? Blindness is nearly impossible to cure. Okay, all right, we can come in agreement there. There's a man who's blind, and in the Bible, all he does is start to homologeo. All he does is start to say what God says about him. When you will start to say what God says about you, there's no demon in heaven can keep that from you. When you start to say what God says about you, there's no demon in hell that can keep that from you. You will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. But it ain't going to happen as you keep on. From your mouth shouldn't come blessing and cursing, because there's a problem here. Houston, we got a problem. It's your mouth. I'll never get over this. She'll never. Abba. That man is blind. How did he get his wholeness? He heard Jesus. Somebody might have told him that's Jesus. And he said, Son of David. Watch this. Guys in the back, can you find me that scripture Pastor Isaac used it. It's in Lamentations. Is that where it is? Can you go back there and make sure they got it? He started to say what God said. Thank you. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never, what? Cease. Next verse. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy begins fresh, what? This morning. What's God's mercy? God's mercy is that you don't get what you deserve. That's what he's declaring. Son of David, have mercy on me. And here's what happens. When you start to act this way, when you start to speak this way, maybe the same thing will happen to you as happened to them. You'll have neighbors who tell you, oh, you need to stop that. That's crazy. You've been listening to that crazy Pastor Drew too much. You know what I mean? You're brainwashed, boom, boom. How many know we need our brains washed? Come on, somebody raise your hand and recognize, man, I need my brain washed. Of the great listen, they're not right, we're right. They're not right, God is right. You're right, you need to have your brain washed. Of all the crazy thinking, God cannot lie. Amen. And that man, and you'll have neighbors, friends, relatives tell you, you need to shut it down, you need to be quiet, you need a silencio, por favor. And you know what he said? He cried out, what? Listen, that's what the Holy Spirit ministered to me. Day after day after day last week, I need to cry out louder. I need to proclaim and declare. I need to bind and loose. I need to start saying what God says. And I don't care whether you think I don't care what you think. Because I can't afford to be manipulated by what you think. I'm too busy going to focus on what God thinks. And when that happens, listen, when he said, Father, have mercy. Jesus, Son of David, he said, Son of David, have mercy on him. When he said that, was he blind or could he see? As a bat. And when they told him to shut it down and he cried louder, was he blind or could he see? Still blind. Then Jesus said, hey, tell that guy to come here. Jesus will tell, if you will do this, he'll heaven and earth are going to, you know what, pass away, but the word is never going to pass away. He honors his word. He's like, get over here. I love it because he tells the disciples, hey, go get him. The one that you were telling to shut up. There's religious people that, you know what, are going to put, you know what, think they're all religious. You listen, this ain't religion. This is relationship. Jesus said it like this. If I abide in you and my words abide in you, then you will ask. And I will do it. It ain't going to happen. You are not going to continue to speak blessings about your kids, about your relationship, about your health, about your businesses, about whatever concerns you, about your parents. You're not going to continue to speak all that trash and just, walk in the blessings of God. It ain't going to happen. Jesus said, and he's saying this to them back then, he's saying to us, either make the tree right and the fruit right, or make the tree bad or the fruit bad. He's just saying, hey, it ain't going to happen, guys. I call into heaven unto you this day. It's not my fault. How many learning something today? How many would raise your hand and say, you know what, that your mouth has been a little too loosey-goosey for your own good? Come on, raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand if you... Guys, we can't fix it till we recognize it. How many would raise your hand boldly and say, that pastor, you got my mail today? Okay. Well, you know what? Thank you for raising your hands. How many would raise your hand and say, I want to repent for that. Father, you see the hands up. And any other decisions that we need to make. Maybe for some of you, you've gotten far away from God. Today is your day. Maybe some of you, you're like, oh my goodness, Pastor, thank you for the word that you've preached today. Because I'm going to step into a whole different realm. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.